Daniel chapter 6. In this chapter, we're going to learn of a big trial that Daniel went through when his life was in danger. Today, a lot of people want to experience the glory of following God and being his servant. But when you're serving the Lord, there are times of trial as well. And sometimes people get really confused and they lose their faith when they're in a time of trial. But the real test of our love is that we love God no matter what we're going through. Even in the low times or the times of trial and testing, or the times when we think we're serving the Lord, but it doesn't seem like anything's happening. Daniel was so consistent. That's why he's one of the great heroes of the Bible. He didn't ride an emotional roller coaster with the Lord. His faith was always steady no matter what he went through. So a lot of times there was terrible chaos in Daniel's life, but he always trusted the Lord and he always obeyed the Lord's commands no matter what. And Daniel was also honored as a very great man, and yet he didn't let that go to his head either. He continued following the Lord and trusting the Lord in all things. And Daniel knew the positions of greatness that he was placed in were not because he earned it or deserved it in any way. It was only because it was part of God's plan to help him reach his own people with the truths that the Lord gave him, and also to reach pagan nations. So Daniel was a prophet not only to Israel, but also to the Babylonians whom he served. And Daniel never got to live a normal life. He was kidnapped, taken as a slave, never allowed to get married or have children. He was castrated. He had to serve under evil kings. And it's really hard when you're a Christian to serve in a workplace where the people running the organization do not love the Lord. And this was Daniel's entire career until he got old and died. And in this chapter, we're going to see what happened to him when he was serving the third king, which is King Darius. In the beginning of Daniel, he was serving under Nebuchadnezzar, and he had to tell Nebuchadnezzar to repent of his sins. Can you imagine the stress of telling a king to repent of their sins? You would feel like the whole world is coming against you. But Daniel did it, and he was greatly honored in that kingdom. He also saw three of his precious friends thrown into the fire to die, but they survived because of their faith. And I'm sure that was really traumatic for Daniel as well. Then under the second king, he had to tell him to his face to repent as well. And a lot of Christians can't even tell their next door neighbor to repent, but Daniel had to tell a king to repent. Now we're going to read of the great trial that Daniel endured under King Darius. Verse 1. It hath been good before Darius, and he hath established over the kingdom satraps, 120, that they may be throughout the whole kingdom. 2. And higher than they, three presidents, of whom Daniel is first, that these satraps may give to them an account, and the king have no loss. 3. Then Daniel hath been overseer over the presidents and satraps, because that an excellent spirit is in him, and the king hath thought to establish him over the whole kingdom. So again, Daniel is second in line to the king. He was second in line under Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, and now King Darius has made him second in line because of Daniel's great wisdom, which came from the Lord. The second king, Belshazzar, made Daniel leader over a third of the kingdom. So now he's been raised up in status again. And for a lot of people, the emotional turmoil of getting lowered in position and then raised again would be enough to drive a lot of people crazy. But it didn't drive Daniel crazy because all his faith was in the Lord and nothing else. So it didn't matter if he got demoted or promoted. He remained stable in his service to God. Darius has made Daniel second only to himself, and Daniel is one of three presidents who have rule over the entire land of the Medes and the Persians, because Darius was a Mede. So I think this is a transition time where Babylon was turning into the empire of the Persians and the Medes. Daniel also has precedence over 120 satraps, which are like governors over all the provinces in the Babylonian area. It was 120 people in the New Testament who prayed with faith for the Holy Spirit to descend on them after Jesus had risen and gone to heaven. But here, Daniel is the leader over 120 evil pagans who hate the Lord and don't want to serve him. This is a big contrast. 4. Then the presidents and satraps have been seeking to find a cause of complaint against Daniel concerning the kingdom, and any cause of complaint and corruption they are not able to find, because that he is faithful, and any error and corruption have not been found in him. Not only the 120 satraps, but the other two presidents who all serve under Daniel are all against him in unison. Can you imagine being a leader and every single person who is under you wants to get you fired or killed? That's how Daniel was being treated. So whenever he spoke to people, I'm sure he got really evil looks all the time. And there was a lot of backstabbing. But they couldn't find any fault to charge him in front of the king, because he never did anything wrong. 5. Then these men are saying, "We do not find against this Daniel any cause of complaint, except that we have found it against him in the law of his God." The only thing that they could complain about is that he wasn't one of them. He didn't worship their pagan gods. He only worshiped the one true God. 6. Then these presidents and satraps have assembled near the king, and thus they are saying to him, "O King Darius, to the ages live." All of these 122 evil men came to the king and said, "Long may you live." 7. Taking counsel have all the presidents of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors, to establish a royal statute and to strengthen an interdict, that any who seeketh a position from any god and man until 30 days, save of thee, O king, is cast into a den of lions. They had come up with a new law that they wanted to present to the king. They were using the king's own narcissistic pride as their weapon, saying, "Let's make a law, king, that nobody can pray to any god except you for 1 month," because they knew that Daniel would never stop praying to the one and only God. But all of those who prayed to pagan gods would easily stop doing that for a month, because they never got anything out of their gods anyway. And they would easily exchange prayer to their king with prayer for a pagan god, but they knew that Daniel wouldn't do this. 8. Now, O king, thou dost establish the interdict and sign the writing that it is not to be changed, as a law of Media and Persia that doth not pass away. They're saying, "King, we want you to sign this law, and then you will be honored for an entire month, because nobody will pray to any god except you, and it'll be like you are their god." 9. Therefore, King Darius hath signed the writing and interdict. An interdict is like a mandate. It's a temporary law, and it appealed to the king's ego, so he signed it. When Satan tempts your ego, that's a big red flag. You shouldn't go in that direction, but King Darius did. 10. And Daniel, when he hath known that the writing is signed, hath gone up to his house, and the window being opened for him in his upper chamber, over against Jerusalem, 3 times in a day he is kneeling on his knees and praying and confessing before his God, because that he was doing it before this. Daniel, who is a righteous man, still confesses his sins and the sins of his people before the Lord 3 times a day, and he worships and honors the Lord 3 times a day. This shows us that even when we're walking in righteousness, that doesn't mean that we're perfect. Little things creep into our heart, like unforgiveness, impatience, coldness, and stuff like that. So we always have to repent on a daily basis because of those dark things that creep into our heart. Three times each day, Daniel would confess and pray, and he would open the window that faced in the direction of Jerusalem, and he would pray in the direction of the temple that had been destroyed. And he didn't stop praying because of this mandate that the king had signed. 11. Then these men have assembled and found Daniel praying and entreating grace before his God. Daniel wasn't praying to get attention, but he didn't stop the practice that he always had before. It was always his custom to open his window that faced Jerusalem and pray three times a day, bowing down to the Lord. He didn't stop, and everybody could see that he was doing it, because you'll notice in both the Old and the New Testament that Jews pray really, really loud. In fact, in the New Testament, it said that Jesus was crying out a couple of times when he prayed. He was yelling. And the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray because they could always hear him when he prayed if he was near them. 12. Then they have come near, yea, they are saying before the king concerning the king's edict, hast thou not signed an interdict that any man who seeketh from any god and man until 30 days save of thee, O king, is cast into a den of lions? Answered hath the king and said, the thing is certain as a law of Media and Persia that doth not pass away. They've told the king, didn't you sign a law saying that nobody's allowed to pray to any god for 30 days? 13. Then they have answered, yea, they are saying before the king that Daniel, who is of the sons of the removed of Judah, hath not placed on thee, O king, any regard, nor on the interdict that thou hast signed, and three times in a day he is seeking his petition. A petition is a request. When you pray, you're actually petitioning the Lord, and you're asking the Lord to forgive you and to keep you in his commandments and in his will. These evil 22 men are telling the king, Daniel is violating that law that you signed, and he doesn't have any respect for you. And three times a day, he's still violating your law. 14. Then the king, when he hath heard the matter, is greatly displeased at himself. And on Daniel he hath set the heart to deliver him, until the going up of the sun he was arranging to deliver him. The king loved Daniel. He didn't have any problem with Daniel praying to his own God. So at this point, the king was upset at himself, not at Daniel, because he realized that these evil men had tricked him into harming Daniel and forcing Daniel to break the law. He wasn't thinking of Daniel when he signed the edict. When pride gets in the way, we stop thinking of others and we just think of ourselves. And that was the mistake that King Darius had made. So now he's really upset and he's trying to figure out a way that he can save Daniel's life without going against his own word. 15. Then these men have assembled near the king and are saying to the king, know, O king, that the law of Media and Persia is that any interdict and statute that the king doth establish is not to be changed. Now they're trying to force the king to kill Daniel. They're saying, you can't change the law that you already signed. So now they're proving that they have betrayed the king by tricking him into punishing Daniel. 16. Then the king hath said, and they have brought Daniel, and have cast him into a den of lions. The king hath answered, and said to Daniel, thy God whom thou art serving continually, he himself doth deliver thee. The king is prophesying. God can cause anybody to prophesy. There was one time in the Old Testament where God caused King Saul to prophesy, and he did not obey the Lord, and the Lord had forsaken him. And yet he prophesied, and a donkey prophesied too in the Old Testament when he told Balaam that the angel was standing before them. And here a pagan king is prophesying that the Lord will deliver Daniel from the lion's den. it's known by historians that the Babylonians punished people by throwing them into fire. And when Daniel was under King Nebuchadnezzar's reign, which was the reign of Babylon, his three friends were thrown into the fire. And historians also know that the Persians punished people by throwing them into a den of hungry lions. And now that Darius is king over Persia and Media, Daniel is being thrown into a den of lions. So historically, the information we're being given in the book of Daniel is very accurate. 17. And a stone hath been brought and placed at the mouth of the den, and the king hath sealed it with his signet, and with the signet of his great men, that the purpose be not changed concerning Daniel. The king was up all night trying to figure out how he was going to save Daniel's life. And then his evil servants came to him and they said, "There's no way out, king. You cannot undo the law that you already signed. So he has to go into the lion's den." So then the king prophesied and said, "His God will save him." And the king put Daniel in the den with faith that Daniel's God would save him. And when the king put his signet seal on the mouth of the den, he was telling the whole world, "I approve of this man and his God who will save him." 18. Then hath the king gone to his palace, and he hath passed the night fasting, and Dehivan have not been brought up before him, and his sleep hath fled from off of him. All night long, the king is fasting. He won't eat his dinner. That's what Dehivan is. It's his food. He refuses to let them serve him, and he doesn't sleep all night, and he's anxiously awaiting for Daniel to be delivered. 19. Then doth the king rise in the early morning, and at the light, and in haste to the den of lions he hath gone. As soon as the sun came up, the king ran to the den to see if Daniel was still alive. This shows anticipation. He has a lot of hope in the God of Daniel. Now, this reminds us of the morning after the resurrection of Christ. When you read the Bible carefully, you realize that Jesus actually rose in the night. He didn't rise from the grave in the morning. He rose at sundown the day before the women came to the grave. Daniel was also delivered at sundown because he was placed in the den the night before, and that's when he was delivered. That's when the Lord shut those lions' mouths. But it wasn't the next day until the king was able to go and see the evidence that Daniel was delivered and to have the mouth of the den rolled open. Just like when the women came the next day at daylight, that was their first opportunity to see that Jesus had raised from the grave and the mouth of the tomb was open. He actually rose the night before, but they couldn't come and see the evidence of it until daylight after the Passover time had passed. This is typology, which means it foreshadows the resurrection of Jesus Christ. 20. And at his coming near to the den to Daniel, with a grieved voice he crieth, "The king hath answered and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, thy God whom thou art serving continually, is he able to deliver thee from the lions?" The king wasn't 100% certain, but he had great hope. He was crying because he loved Daniel and he really wanted Daniel to come out alive. Now the women, when they came to the tomb, they weren't certain that Jesus was alive either. In fact, they thought he was dead. They didn't realize that he was going to rise from the dead. And the king wasn't 100% certain about Daniel, but he knew that Daniel's God was able to raise Daniel. 21. Then Daniel hath spoken with the king, "O king, to the ages live." 22. My God hath sent his messenger and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not injured me, because that before him purity hath been found in me, and also before thee, O king, injury I have not done. Daniel says that an angel came and shut all of the lions' mouths so that they could not eat Daniel, and it was for two reasons. Daniel was walking in holiness. That's what purity is. By faith, Daniel was obeying the commandments of God because that is holiness. He walked in repentance and righteousness. The second reason is that Daniel had never done anything to harm the king, so he didn't deserve to die. Jesus also never did anything to harm us. Jesus did everything to save us, and he did not deserve to die on the cross. So this is also typology that points to Christ. 23. Then was the king very glad for him, and he hath commanded Daniel to be taken up out of the den, and Daniel hath been taken up out of the den, and no injury hath been found in him, because he hath delivered in his God. The lions didn't claw him. The lions never touched him. He didn't have a bruise or a scratch. 24. And the king hath said, and they have brought those men who had accused Daniel, and to the den of lions they have cast them, they, their sons, and their wives, and they have not come to the lower part of the den, till that the lions have passed over them, and all their bones have been broken small. Daniel's accusers were thrown into the den in his place, and the angel let go of those mouths, and the lions were very hungry, and they ate all of those men, including their families. The reason that kings would always kill the children of an evil man or a king is because the children would try to lay claim to that person's inheritance if they were still alive. So by killing the children and the wives, it would mean that there would be no inheritance and no legacy for those families. Those families were erased or extinct from the earth. On Judgment Day, everyone who hates Jesus is going to get erased from history. They're going to be in hell forever, and Satan and his demons will be destroyed. So this is also typology of Judgment Day. 25. Then Darius the king hath written to all the peoples, nations, and languages who are dwelling in all the land, your peace be great. Peace means that there is no war, but more importantly, it also means that God forgives our sins. The one person who we really need to have peace with is God, because he controls what happens to our soul in eternity, and nobody else has that authority. 26. From before me is made a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom they are trembling and fearing before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and abiding to the ages, and his kingdom that which is not destroyed, and his dominion is unto the end. Again, King Darius is prophesying. He says that no one can offend the God of Daniel, and that the God of Daniel has a kingdom that will never end and will last throughout all of eternity. Now, Daniel had told the king, long may you live. But the king Darius said that Daniel's God has a kingdom that is eternal. All of us can live forever if we follow Christ, but only Christ has a kingdom that is eternal. Darius did not have an eternal kingdom, and he did not claim to. He isn't telling the pagans that they have to become followers of Daniel's God, but he is telling them that they're not allowed to offend Daniel's God. They can make their own choice who they want to follow, but they can never persecute an Israelite. 27. A deliverer, a rescuer, a doer of signs and wonders in the heavens and in earth is he who hath delivered Daniel from the paw of the lions. The king is continuing to prophesy, saying, the Lord delivers, rescues, performs great signs and wonders, and the Lord saved Daniel from the lions. 28. And this Daniel hath prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Cyrus is going to be the next king who takes over Persia, and that will be the fourth king that Daniel serves under. And King Darius is the Persian king who gave the Israelites permission to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their temple after 70 years of exile. The Lord was honored in the Babylonian kingdom, in the Egyptian kingdom, which we've read of in the past, and in the Persian kingdom. And that concludes Daniel chapter 6.